This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is TJ Sullivan. Brent DeHart is still out with his yaks. He informed me he had a whole litter of them. So you'll have to inquire when you see Brent about all the baby yaks that he has now running around his property. So Dave is here as well. Don't think that Dave is getting any time off. He's not allowed to. He had to give up his mic because we have two folks with us in studio today. From the Salem-Keizer School District, we have Mike Wolf and Lillian G. I can't remember how to say your last name. Say it for everybody.
Govis.
Okay, I can remember that. And so Lillian is the Director of Communications and in charge of community outreach. And Mike is like the grand poobah over everything. I mean, I've seen him present on all kinds of topics. And so, Mike, what's your official title?
It's not Grand Poobah.
Okay.
It's Chief Operations Officer. Yeah, Grand Poobah is reserved for Christie,
okay,
Superintendent.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've had a lot of things that have come up over the last few years. I've got a 12 and a 14-year-old, and so obviously education is super important to me. I'm also a business owner, and what's happening in our schools is important to business people. We need kids that are coming out that are either ready to go to college or they're ready to get out and get into the job force. And I always joke around whenever I meet with kids, because kids today are super sarcastic. And so I always tell them, look, I honestly don't care about you. I just need you to become a good consumer. I need you to have some discretionary income. And obviously, I do care about them. The key to it is getting a good base. And so what happens in our public schools is super important to me, both as a parent and as a business owner. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we've had some things like, I remember we passed the school bond. Everybody felt great about the school bond passing. And then right after the tax bills hit, the Statesman was kind enough to front page article about, holy, look at the size of these tax bills that people are getting. And everybody kind of like, wait a minute, what am I getting? And so now we're kind of in that mode where we see some of the fruits of that bond. And so I wanted to have you guys come in and first segment, talk about where we're at with the bond. It was a big number that was passed. And there's a lot of cool projects that are happening that are going to... the second segment, we're going to talk about some of the investments into the actual education part of things. And so let's first talk about the bond. Where are we at? What's happening this summer? How much are we going to spend? Where is it happening? All that kind of good stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Let me jump in. First of all, let me start by saying thank you to our voters for passing the bond. It was no small ask. Third largest bond, K-12 bond in the history of Oregon. And a huge, huge investment for decades to come. So, again, thank you. We know it's not easy. And really, but the four newest schools from the last bond don't need any work. But outside of those, every school gets touched in a significant way. There are 31 major capital construction projects. So, as you know, in this bond, our community task force helped with recommendations of, instead of building a new high school, because we certainly have the forecasted student population for one in the future, that would have come in at somewhere between $250, $275 million for one facility, that a more equitable approach would be to expand our six existing high schools to a 2,200 capacity. Except for West, because the demographics don't show that needing 22, but 2,100. And what that does is it really sets the stage for us to be able to handle potential growth over the next 10, 15, and in some cases 20 years, which is a huge investment in the community. And so our first wave, we call them our cohorts, our 2019 cohort has five initial projects in it. And that's two of our largest high schools as far as the bond work, and that's North and McNary, and Judson, Waldo, middle schools, and then Gubser Elementary. And so those five, we started work on those even before the bond passed to get ahead of the cost curve. right? And so what we're trying to do is plan this, knowing that the market's pretty much saturated with bond work. Mm-hmm. And so we got out ahead of it. I feel pretty good about that. Those five projects represent about $162 million total. So that money is starting to queue up in the economy. You know, you lock the costs in during design, and you really experience the cost during construction. So if you drive around North and Gubser, any of these schools right now, you'll see dirt's moving, bricks are coming down. There's a lot of activity going on. And so we'll start turning that revenue into the economy this summer in a big way, huge. And then our next cohort is 10 schools, 10 major capital construction projects, two high schools, South and McKay, one middle school, Claggett, and then we have seven elementary schools, Auburn, Ayer, Scott, Hayesville, Hoover, Miller, and Cummings.
And when are those supposed to start?
Well, they're in design right now.
Okay.
In fact, we're actually moving towards CMGC contracts for both South and McKay. And so we'll get those under contract, and then that's when the real work starts to pace picks up, like really quick. And so we feel good about that. Those projects represent a little over $183 million. So between the two cohorts, we've got about $345 million that will be churning through the economy here in the next 6 to 12 months.
Wow. And I think that one of the things that I always try to emphasize with people is that I'm really impressed with the management team that you guys have. To me, Christy Perry, it makes my head hurt thinking about how good of a superintendent Christy Perry mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the folks that are there thinking ahead, making wise decisions with the tax dollars that you're given. Because sometimes I think that there's this thought out there, like, gosh, how much was the total bond?
$620 million.
$620 million. That's over half a billion dollars. Mm-hmm. And when you say it that way, and you, it's hard to wrap your head around, you know, when you start looking at the schools, but then you start thinking about the number of kids, because our school district, we're either the biggest in the state or the second biggest in the state, right? Number two. So we're the second biggest school district in the state. So you would anticipate that it would take a sizable investment to make improvements in these schools, a lot of which haven't been touched for a long time. And so I just want to say thanks for your thoughtfulness as you guys go out and handle these bonds, because I know that you guys are managing that money in a wise way. My question is, as we're doing this work on the schools, school still in session, or school will be coming back into session? Are these contractors prepared to work around this, and are the students prepared for having all these folks in there?
Yes, and maybe. we know the contractors have done this work before, and it's really complicated when you still have an active school. And our students have been awesome, by the way. At every groundbreaking, we have student leaders speak. And even if they're not going to be there next year or when the new facility opens, they've just been incredible. I mean, they really understand. And Lillian and her crew have done a phenomenal job getting all of that set up. And I don't know if there's anything you'd like to add.
Yeah, I mean, from the student standpoint, they understand, and our staff, they understand that there's going to be some headaches involved with this. You may have to walk the long way around the building. You may need to bring that jacket to school during the rainy weather, because the traditional paths, entry, exit, they're not always going to be the same through the construction process. But on the end of it, you know, we're going to have a much better product. I think there is the students at North Salem High School formed a union because we had to take away their student parking, right? And they were pretty angry at us and started a social media campaign about their student parking. And then when they found out that we just moved their parking three blocks over, they were like, oh, that's okay. That's cool. We got this.
Civics lessons in action right there.
Exactly.
On the campus.
Exactly. And then we used their organizers as our speakers at the groundbreaking ceremony. So
awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there's been a couple of bills that have passed in the legislature that are going to impact our schools, and so we'll get into what the practical effects of those are going to be when we come back.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hey, welcome back. This is TJ Sullivan, and I'm here with Lillian and Mike from the Salem-Keizer School District. This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape, and I can't even tell you how good they are. And if your yard is in need of a little bit of help this summer, I highly recommend that you call the folks at Green Acres. But even more importantly, you may want to, you got that one neighbor, everybody has that one neighbor whose yard is just a wreck. And the best thing that you can do in the most passive aggressive way is just call Green Acres and tell them to come out and give your neighbor a bid on their yard on cleaning it up. Then maybe they'll get the hint with that. So we'll turn our attention back. So we started talking during the break about other things related to the bond that are also important. So we wanted to continue to move in that direction, stay in that direction. So talk a little bit. This goes back to the wise management of the tax dollars. Talk about the bond, how much it was, but then how much it will ultimately be and why it will potentially grow and increase.
Sure. So so like we said, we started out with $619.7 million authorization that the voters approved. But you know, you have earnings on proceeds over time. We don't make money. We're not in the business to do that. You do get a fair amount of earnings over a 5 or 7 year period. We also have grants. We've received over $13 million in grants already. McKay, for instance, has an $8 million state grant. We've had seismic grants as well, and premiums from the bond market. And that was we kind of hit it big when we went out for our first issuance, and we received $65 million in market premiums for our, you know, we're an attractive investment, municipal corporation, municipal bonds, tax exempt bonds. And so the market's willing to pay for those. And that $65 million on top of, in addition to the $619.7 million.
Wow.
So that gives us the opportunity to make adjustments to projects along the way if it's needed, but also to address the cost escalation that we know is in the marketplace today.
Yeah, our contractors are busy. Every time I talk to some of the folks, you know, they're telling me they're bid out for 12 months or 18 months. And all that does is make your life harder when you're in the middle of a construction project, because when they go to bid a job, if they're full, they'll come back and they'll say, well, we'll do this job, but it's going to be for this big number. And so you typically, we're seeing that right now in the marketplace. We've seen that with the police facility,
right,
where they ran past and they thought they were being very conservative in what they were estimating by estimating high, and they ran past those numbers. And so talk a little bit about what it means for our community and the work that you're doing to get local contractors in on these projects.
To the extent possible, we're using local contractors, local firms. We want to make sure that these dollars stay in our community. We know that for every dollar spent in this bond measure, it turns around about five times, whether it's catering, whether it's supplies, whether it's, you know, new tires at Les Schwab. So we know that these dollars are really making a big impact. And like Dick Withnell likes to say, you know, a high tide raises all boats. And so... so that's why we're choosing and being very conscientious with the work and keeping it here in the community.
That's awesome. I think that, you know, when we built our building here, one of the things that was fun for me was running into the guys that were doing the work. I'd run into them at Ross, or I'd run into them at a park, men and women who were doing the work. And it was fun to hear the pride that they took. And it's different when you're doing work in your community. You're putting your name on it and your stamp on it, and their kids may be going to the schools that they're impacting. But to be able to drive by your work and see your work every day is satisfying. And so I think you always do a little bit better when the work is in your own backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, our two largest projects right now, McNary and North, a local contractor. Pence.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's huge.
The I guess going through that as well, when you have the extra savings that are there, every contract project that I've ever been in, you always find stuff that you want to upgrade when you get into the middle of it. Are you running into that at all, where you get in and you're like, oh man, we'd really like to put a tile backsplash here, or
Well, we have been really engaging our staff and our students in the design process and using them as sounding boards to make sure that the designs that are being presented are actually reflective of the needs of the school. So we're trying to head off as much of that as possible by having our resident experts at the table making decisions, guiding us before we get to a tiled backsplash.
Right, yeah. Well, I just think it's cool that you engage the students. That was going to be, you know, you get parents involved, and what parents may want or what kids may want in their school may be different than what educators may want. So trying to balance all of those needs and getting them into the room all together and say, all right, how do we solve this?
Yeah, if you want to figure out the best way for a cafeteria to work, just get the kids who are standing in line.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to see this as this project is coming to fruition and the work that's being done. I'm hoping that there is optimism, and I'm hoping that people, when they get their property tax bills, you know, and they're kind of loosening their collar a little bit, but they're hopefully people can take pride in their community, in their school district, in what we're doing. And this is just part one of the investment. You know, we've all seen the report cards that have come out about where Oregon ranks as in compared to the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And I'm always struck when I talk to kids from other countries. We had an exchange student stay with us from India, and I was talking to her about her experience in schools in India, and she said, look, it's a matter of national pride for us as a country, and so everybody is all in on the education front, and we treat teachers like rock stars in India, and teachers treat us at like we're like each one of us is an individual gift that they're charged with enhancing. And it was fascinating to talk to her, and I thought, man, as a country, we need to be in this position where we are all in on our education front, so that if we want America to be great, we better start with our schools, and we better make sure that they are as good as they can possibly be. So when we get our property tax bills, we are looking at it with not with a sense of, oh man, but with a sense of, I can see it in the practical effects, and I'm excited for what's going to happen next.
And these will be benefits for the entire community, not just the students. A big focus of this bond measure is safety. You know, what's the entryway like? Are those office managers making eye contact with everyone who's trying to come into that school? Are they secured? But also, they will be very seismically sound. So in the event of a major earthquake, they can serve as shelters for the community in all regions of the area that we serve, Salem and Kaiser. Every single feeder system will have an earthquake safe place to go should our community suffer that. And that's really critical for everyone to know, regardless of if you have children in the school or not. This could be a benefit for you that you don't know about.
Fantastic. Well, I think what a great thing to have. Schools that are prepared for now and for the future, for the growth that we're experiencing. I mean, Salem's a popular place to be. We're seeing a huge influx of people. We're going to continue to see an influx of people here. And having our schools prepared, I mean, we're really making an investment that's going to grow. So as we pay off these bonds, I mean, hopefully, you know, the schools will still be in a position to hold all the kiddos that are coming through those doors. But then also to make it a safe place to be. So as a parent, you're not, you know, losing your mind when, you know, there is an earthquake. You know that your child is in a safe, secure place to be. So, Dave, how are we doing on time? We're good? Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about what's happening in the legislature, because, you know, one of the things I think that people see is our spending per student in the state of Oregon is higher than all of our surrounding counterparts, Oregon or Washington, Idaho, California. And yet, when you look at our school days, we're in session, I think, about 165 days a year. Our surrounding states are in session about 180 days a year. That's 3 weeks. And so we're losing school days there. And our school days, the amount of time that kids are in school, it seems to be getting a little bit shorter. And so we've had the Student Success Act that was passed. Mm-hmm. And just curious what the practical effect do you think in next year is going to be and in the following years?
Well, the Student Success Act is set up so that it actually wouldn't go in effect until 2020, 2021. And the purpose for that is to give us time to do strategic planning on the front end so that there is documentation that school districts can be held accountable for. Here's what we're going to focus on. But through the Student Success Act, you will see a longer school year. You know, I've worked in school districts on the East Coast, and 180 days is the minimum. And it's kind of the gold standard. When you talk about funding, we may have more funding than our local counterparts, but, you know, look at Massachusetts, where you have students who are really excelling and leaving school prepared and ready for to be part of the local economy or to go on to higher education. And that funding model looks different. This gets us closer to that quality education model that Oregon came up with but hasn't yet fully funded. The other piece of this is that it expands early education. So being able to offer preschool promise, Head Start, starting the education process very young for our children will help them. You know, we have at some of our elementary schools, we have kids who come into school who don't even know all the letters in their names, right? So you've got to try to fit in 6-7 years of education in that elementary time frame, and it's just very difficult. It can be as many as 9 years that they're trying to get in through elementary. So by expanding the educational offerings to that elementary school, expanding the school year, having a lot of accountability and different metrics than general school funding, taxpayers will be able to hold their school districts accountable, see what their goals are, have that in a public facing platform so that they know the return on their investment. This is significant, $35 million per year for Salem-Keizer schools alone. And I think we'll see real change out of it.
Awesome. Yeah. Going in and being in my kids' classrooms and seeing these kids, and it was funny because I was talking to one of the teachers, and he said, look, class size is important, right? Mm-hmm. The smaller the class size, the better I can be hands-on. But if you gave me 35 kids that were all coming to school and were on the similar level, mm-hmm. I could handle that. Yeah. But the problem is I've got 35 kids coming in and they swing the spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get to each one of those. And, I would be in the classroom and I would be, you'd be talking to a fifth grader and, it's going to be a long, hard road for you if we can't catch you up. And it breaks your heart because you're like, this kid's a fifth grader going to middle school, ill prepared, mm-hmm. to be there, and what happens, and when you don't know what's going on in the classroom, you become a disruptive influence, and it holds everybody back. And so, I love the fact that there's going to be some early education, and we're mm-hmm. going to be working to get these kids caught up. Next segment, we'll talk about some of the cool things that are happening, CTEC and other programs inside of our school district. When we come back to 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back. Brent is not here, and we've got Dave tied to a chair and gagged, so he can't participate today. No, we actually have Lillian G. and Michael W. from Salem-Keizer Schools with us today. This segment is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and as well as Sylvan Learning Center. So we wanted just to keep following up on this discussion about bills that were passed, obviously a Student Success Act that was passed. There was also a PERS reform bill, I guess is what I would call it, that was passed. And I was struck by the amount of savings that is involved in that bill. They touted this as we're going to be able to hire more teachers and we're going to be able to add more school days back with this PERS reform bill. And PERS is something that, it's funny because you can't talk about like revitalizing downtown without talking about the homeless issue. And I don't feel like you can have a discussion about solving the funding woes in our school districts without talking about PERS in some respect. And so this PERS bill that was passed, there's some fear out there that the teachers may come back and collectively bargain to have their pay increase to deal with what gets with the PERS reform bill, but the way PERS was created is just like Social Security, right? We set up Social Security and we picked 65 as an age to collect benefits when we were dying at 67. You know, now we're living until we're 80, and we have benefits that are going until 65. So, or we have benefits that start at 65. So that system is becoming bankrupt. So with this PERS bill that was passed, do you have a feel for how this is going to change one way or the other with Salem-Keizer School District?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can give you just some comparisons. So every biennium, we have a projected rate increase that we can look ahead and anticipate. And we're looking anywhere between 4 and 5% of an increase every biennium. And so for us, I mean, just in our general fund, we run over a $200 million payroll every year. So you can do the math. This year, for the next biennium, we're looking at a $14 million increase per year, right? And so those are typically what happens when you have a cost driver like PERS, where you as a organization don't have any control over. I mean, the PERS board can change the assumed earnings rate, and all of a sudden, you know, there are immediate consequences for us as far as the unfunded actuarial liability. So just to give you a sense, our rate increased by about 4.5% for the next biennium, which is $14 million. The PERS reform estimates about a little over 5% decrease in cost. So it gives you, it's almost a wash for us. And if we could get through a biennium where we didn't have to cover a $14 million per year increase, then that money can go right back into investing in the classrooms.
Yeah. I mean, $14 million a year hires a lot of teachers.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking forward to that, I mean, you guys obviously with the bonds, the increased capacity in the schools, it's really because a lot of school districts are going to be getting this money and they're not going to have the increased size. They're not going to have, I mean, great, you can go out and hire teachers. You got to have some place to put them.
Right.
And so unless you want to do it in the cafeteria, which would just be weird. But you know, a lot of school districts are going to run into this problem where they're going to have potentially money for teachers and no space to put the teachers. And right. So we're doing this at a good time where we're going to have both things kind of happening at once.
And it's not just teachers. We're also making investments in our counselors, mental health. You know, obviously that's a big issue for our community. We've lost a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And so by reducing class size, we can increase the amount of interaction that children have with an adult so that we can pick up on the signs. But we're also, we just added 6 counselors, one at each traditional high school. We're still above the average, right? The average is 1 to every 250 kids, and we're more close to 1 to every 300 kids. But how do we help support our students with mental health? How do we help add behavior cadres so children know how to regulate their own behaviors? We're seeing a very high influx in that, and that's a big part of why Governor Brown chose to sign the Student Success Act at one of our schools in our district, is because she toured the school and she saw, you know, we have one classroom at a school that only has 8 students in it because the behavioral needs are so high. We have to have 2 adults and 8 students in one classroom to support them. So it also allows us to add some wraparound supports so that we can be better overall educators for our students, not just teachers, but instructional assistants, bus drivers. I know we have a big job fair tomorrow for bus drivers that Mike wants to talk about.
Absolutely, yeah. Like Lillian said, teachers are usually the standard that we talk about increases or decreases, but it's really a full, well-rounded staff. And you got to get the kids to school. And so we're always hiring bus drivers. In fact, we have a critical shortage. There's a national shortage as well. But what we really care about is us, right, at this particular point in time. So we need help with bus drivers. We pay for training. We'll help with the studying for the CDL test. It's we're in the top 100 of bus fleets in the nation. Michael Shields and his team run an excellent department. We just need help.
Right. So there's jobs out there to be had. So if you're out there looking, or if you've got that 28-year-old that's still living in your basement and you want to get them out and get them a job. And I mean, one of the perks is you get to put the fear of the baby Jesus into 50 school kids on your bus when you take them in every day.
Well, we can talk about that.
Okay, maybe not that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not part of our training.
That's not part of the perk. Okay. All right. It's probably why I shouldn't be involved in the hiring process.
But we have openings across the board: custodial, maintenance. There's summer work. You know, this is when we do all the repairs on our schools. So we need whatever your skill set is. We probably need it. If you're bilingual, we especially need it. Administrative assistance, clerical work. There are opportunities. There are temporary opportunities. There are permanent opportunities. So please go on our website and look. We also have the job fair tomorrow from 9 to 2 with transportation, and we are hiring people on the spot.
Where's that job fair at?
I don't have that right in front of me.
What's the website if I want to go check it out?
SalemKaiser.org.
SalemKaiser.org. So
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
If you got your kid in the basement, now you can tell him you've got a job for him for the summer.
And the job fair is at the bus barn on Hawthorne Avenue. So right there kind of by the Denny's.
Can't miss it.
D and Hawthorne?
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Look for all the buses.
Okay, yeah. That sounds great. Well, so any chance that you can have some CTE students? I throw out CTE because I'm so used to talking about it, but explain CTE, what that means, and really, I feel like we're the leader in the state in this regard.
Our career technical education program is incredibly successful. As a general rule, about 9 of every 10 kids who take one class, just one class, one time, will graduate high school. At CTEC, we see about 98% of our kids graduating. Through the bond measure, we are expanding all of our CTE spaces at each of the traditional high schools and Roberts so that more students have access to that program. You know, when I had a meeting with a reporter about something, and she wanted to get coffee, and I said, well, instead of getting coffee, let's go to CTEC and get our nails done and talk about it then, because our students need that experience and coffee is whatever, but you got to have good nails, right? So our students are really thriving. It is getting them across the finish line. They are graduating. Last year, I was at CTEC, and there was a girl in the automotive program there, and I asked her what she was going to do after she graduated, and she said, you know, I don't know. I have been offered an opportunity to go to MIT and study microbiology, but I might just go start painting cars because I can make $70,000 a year out of high school. And that's what she did. And she's winning national awards. She's competing still, even though she's graduated, she's competing. And she's winning national awards for her skills. And she said, well, I can go to MIT later, but right now I'm going to make some money. And she sure is. And so we know that that's a recipe for success. We also know that students want different programs. So we have culinary arts. We have law enforcement, which has just started this year and has been incredibly, I think we're already full on law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So we know the way that students want to learn is different. And maybe it means they're going to go straight into the workforce right after they're done. But maybe it's going to give them the skills that they need to be successful in college. Whichever one of those it is, we're all for it. And the local business community has been really generous. I know Capital Auto Group, Dick Withnell, a bunch of the auto groups here in the area have supported the program at CTEC and given more opportunities because they're getting people who are trained and ready to go right out of high school.
Yeah. And I think my takeaway from that was next time Mike and I go to meet for an adult beverage to talk about what's going on, we're going to get Manny Petties.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm in.
They also do facials.
Oh, good. Okay, do you think we need that?
Sign me up. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That was a subtle hint there.
Yeah, I think so.
the other thing that I think is cool is I know kids from the CTEC program are participating in the tour of homes mm-hmm. this year, and they've got a house that they built, I believe, in the CTEC, and then they're going to take it apart and take it to the job site and to build it. So as you're going out and you're visiting the tour of homes, maybe be looking for that CTEC house. I think that's just a fantastic way for kids to get hands-on experience. And there are kids who are not meant to go to college, but these jobs that are, I mean, they require math, they require verbal skills, they require written skills, they require all the things that you would pick up in school, And we need these, we need people in these jobs. There are job openings everywhere. There's competition is fierce. And if and the Salem-Keizer School District is meeting the needs of business by transitioning schools into being able to provide this type of education. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an absolutely fantastic way for us to go. We'll head into the fourth segment here, final segment on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamlin's Nursery. And I'm happy to have my microphone back. TJ Sullivan is guest hosting again today, and we have another special guest.
Yeah, we've got Alvin Claussen. I like to call him AJ. And Alvin is owner-proprietor of Vagabond Brewery, which he operates with some friends of his. And but he's also got a passion as a veteran himself for the folks that have served in our military who now find themselves out on the streets. And this is, I always like coming in for an hour here because I always was tell people, like, I'm not here to change your mind about anything. I'm just here to empty mine of everything. and there's actually a connection here between what we were just talking about and what AJ is going to talk about. And the reason why is because you have a decision with where you go and spend your money. And when you shop for the lowest possible price and you go and you buy something through the internet from somebody somewhere else, your dollar is gone out of this community and it does not come back to us. And when you choose to shop here and when you choose on a Friday night of where you're going to go and spend your money, you got to stay here in Salem and you got to go spend your money here in Salem. When you shop for tires, you need to shop here in Salem. All that money comes back to us, and you should be shopping with conscientious business owners. And that's one of the things I love about AJ is that he is a conscientious business owner. He's somebody who takes the money that he receives in his business, and he takes it and he uses his own time and those resources to give back to our community. And one of the ways is with helping veterans. So AJ, welcome. Thank you for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for not bringing any beer with you.
Sorry.
That's all right. the attack owl would have been awesome right now, but it's fine. But talk a little bit about your experience with homeless veterans, with what you see and with what you're doing and what else we can be doing collectively as a community to help.
Absolutely. So I want to mention that I grew up here in Salem, and after 9/11, I ended up joining the Marine Corps. And when I came back, I started the brewery with two of my Marine Corps buddies. When I was going to school, I ended up working for behavioral health, helping veterans with PTSD, homelessness, and drug addiction. That was down in Eugene in Lane County, and you know, they had tons of programs that were helping veterans get off the streets, get off drugs, and help them with their emotional problems that stemmed either from their service or, you know, things regarding their service. And when I moved back to Salem, I found that there were very little programs. You know, this is where the state is, this is where the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs is, but we had so few programs here in Salem. And as we started the business, I found that I could utilize owning a brewery to help some of these issues. About 2 years ago, we just got our first homeless shelter for veterans in Marion County. It's here in Salem, and it's Vet Care, and it's their Home for Heroes. It houses about 16 homeless vets. Polk County actually just opened one, which is amazing. That's over in Dallas, and it's Gale's Lodge, and it's an amazing collaboration between public and private funds. You know, there's a church donated the land, the community donated all the interior, and then Polk County did some of the funds.
Awesome. And so I'm driving in my car, I'm listening to you right now, and I'm thinking, gosh, what, this is something that I think veterans are on the hearts and minds of everybody. You know, when you see people asking for money all over Salem, all over Kaiser. And, you know, especially when you see somebody who shows up that says, you know, veteran in need, my kids are always like, Dad, we should stop and give. And I've said, I don't know that that's the healthiest thing that we can do. So let's find a different place for us to plug in and to give some resources to help these folks that are veterans. Where would be a place that you could direct somebody to go to help?
So if you Google search vet care, the local Salem location will pop up, and they'll take any donations that you have, really, whether it's monetary donations or if it's, you know, just sandals for the veterans. You know, that's an important part. It's trying to come up with, it's like you said, you don't want to just give it to the person on the street. You want to come up with thoughtful ways that you could enhance or enrich their lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's I want to meet your immediate physical need, but there's also, I want to invest in a program where there can be potentially some help, some wraparound services is the new buzzword, to help these folks transition and get back. Because, you know, one of the things about anybody who's served in the military is there's a certain amount of discipline that's involved. And I know in my past building, we had two guys who were homeless vets, and they came and we had a conversation about we had a covered structure, and they were sleeping under there. And I was like, as long as you guys keep this place clean, you guys are welcome to stay here. And that property had never been so clean. I mean, they were up early cleaning, and when our folks showed up to work, they left. And when we closed, they came back, and they took fantastic care of the property. But you want to be able to provide the additional services and to help these folks, because I think as an employer, finding people with some military background is fantastic, right? Because of their discipline, they understand what it's like to be part of a team, and they're fantastic employees. And helping these folks who are veterans who have gone through potentially some horrific things and now are struggling as a result of it, helping them get back and get reengaged is a huge way that we can say thank you to people who serve.
Absolutely. Well, and I would say some of our veterans are the hardest working people you can find out there. One of the issues is reintegration. It's coming back into the community, and you know, you don't have those same communication styles that you had in the military. You can't talk to people the same way. You know, you can't push them as hard. And I think coming back as a veteran, you know, I was lucky to start a business with two other veterans, because we communicate and
there's a chain of command.
Yeah, right. In military fashion, but at the same time, like, you know, a lot of these guys don't have that luck. And to be with two other veterans where they can communicate in that style and decompress and understand that form of language.
Yeah. So what is the website, real quick, how people can help?
I would go Google search vet care. I don't have it on me right now, but I just Google search vet care in Salem, Oregon.
All right. Awesome. We got 10 seconds.
Awesome. Well, I just want to say thanks again to KYCAN for letting me come in and guest host and
empty your brain.
Empty my brain of everything.
All right. Thank you, TJ. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.